This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good evening, listeners. So we're still in the month of September, and we do the topic More Than Conquerors Through Jesus Christ. And Frederick and I just thought it's such an important thing to remind ourselves, because especially for many people struggling with addictions, it doesn't feel like a lot like we are more than conquerors.
But it's not only over addiction, Suki. It's over any challenges that we face, illnesses and diseases and relationships. In all of those things, we can be more than conquerors. And it's such a privilege for me to have our following guest with us, Susan Jane Block. And for her to share her stories of how she overcame and was victorious over many challenges and in her life.
And boy, isn't she a conqueror.
Yes.
Like a seven-time suicide survivor and all sorts of things. But let's welcome you, Susan. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it, and I'm very happy to be here and to be able to give this testimony.
Wonderful. Yeah. So maybe you can tell us a little bit more about what I just said about, because on the phone you told me so many times suicide survivor, so many times cancer survivor. So tell us about that.
Oh, absolutely. I'm very happy to... Yes, I'll just go back a little bit into my life. I was a very young girl when I started feeling body shame. I'm not sure where it does stem from, but it is the root of all my addiction. Stems from body shame. From that, it developed almost into a body dysmorphic disorder. I never quite fit in. I was chatting to my dad, and he said to me, "You're a very old-fashioned girl who loved old-fashioned clothing." So I dressed very differently. My mother made my beautiful clothes, so I always kind of walked the beat of my own drum, if you know what I mean. But through that, I was extremely shy, very awkward, and... The very big change in my life happened in my matric year when a friend of mine committed suicide. It really derailed my life, increased my anxiety, my stress, the never feeling like I fit into my body. And from there, I obviously went into my later life, the life I didn't expect. It wasn't the life I'd planned for.
Wow. And so what started happening there?
I was going to study political journalism. I'd wanted that also from very young. I had the calling on my life then. I used to say, people used to ask me why I wanted to do that, and I said, I want to tell the truth.
So that was very important to you.
From then... Well, absolutely, yes. And I always seek to find the truth in my life.
And that, I think, Susan Jane, is why you are where you are now, hey? Because it's a deep, important characteristic value to find the truth. And, imagine if it wasn't so important to you, you might have never really found the deep truth and the healing truth that you've been able to walk with in your life.
You know, as you were sharing, Susan Jane, is that your friend's suicide, there were some major changes in your life. But I can totally imagine that, because that is traumatic, you know, especially if you're actually still quite young and still busy figuring out what you are and what you need to do in life. So there must have been very intense emotions.
Trauma.
The trauma emotions that gone with that. Was there any guidance for you about how to deal with these traumas, and did you go for some form of counseling just to help you through that time?
Unfortunately, I can say that there wasn't adequate counseling at the school I was at for that or for any of us involved. I was actually the last person to see her alive. So that I was interrogated by the police and my desk was searched. It was very, very, as you said, traumatic. From there, being the shy, awkward girl I was, the teacher started to see a change in me, a withdrawal. They called my mother in. The headmaster spoke to my mother and I, and they basically thought I was a suicide threat then. What happened then, and I know the Lord was working in my life, is there was a school chaplain, and the headmaster arranged that every break I would go and sit with the school chaplain. And he helped me and guided me through that year, because at the end of that year, another friend of mine was killed in a motorbike accident. And then just as we left school in the December holidays, another friend of mine was killed in a motorbike accident. So it had an incredible effect on my life. I'm surprised I passed matric.
I can imagine.
Was it three days just in matric?
Yes, it was.
Wow. Very, very difficult.
So it really did have an enormous impact on my life.
And when did you start? It's no problem, actually. But when did you start displaying addictive behavior? Because it's such a subtle process, you know. So is that when it started happening, or was it later?
Sorry, what starts happening?
Addictive patterns. When you started with...
Yes, it did. I have OCD. I tried to be perfect for everybody around me. I wanted to be invisible. I wanted to just disappear. So the shyness and that awkwardness carried on. I then met my ex-husband. I just turned 18. I was 17 when I finished school, so I just turned 18. And also, again, never quite fit into any circle. I was very, very conscious that I felt too big. I didn't quite fit into my body. I rejected my body. So then there was a separation of soul, spirit, and body.
Very interesting.
You know, from there, that was obviously the addiction. My choice of tablet addiction was Dulcolax throughout my life. And obviously that had consequences on my body. At my worst stage, I was taking 30 a day.
Can you just explain to us what tablet is it for people that maybe don't know? I myself don't know.
Dulcolax is a, if you have constipation.
So you purged.
You take that. So, and I developed a phobia, obviously, about what comes out, taking those tablets. So it was a very horrible situation. Then just moving on, side effects are depression, unworthiness, rejection, there was bitterness, there was unforgiveness, all of those things went hand in hand.
How old were you when this happened?
Probably between the ages of 18 and into my early 20s.
Okay, so it was shortly after matric, or probably
yes.
That's when it started.
Yes, it was
escalating.
I felt like I disappointed everybody around me as well, because of I hadn't been able to move forward in my life or resolve those issues. So then I think I was in my early 20s when I tried to commit suicide the first time. As you said, I'm a 7-time suicide survivor.
Wow.
The Lord has truly, truly had his hand on my life. And I went through then as well a miscarriage. I lost my baby, which I blamed myself for. So that was also very unresolved. I then had my son, and then I had been told after my son that I'd never have any other children. I couldn't take any birth control because I was allergic. I'm highly allergic to a lot of things, as you will hear going forward. And 2 years later, my daughter, I was told I was pregnant. So she's a miracle baby. Yes, she's my little miracle. She was born very prem, 7.5 weeks prem. But she made a full recovery, and she's a beautiful, awesome young lady today. Yeah, and going forward, I was still such a broken young woman. I was introduced to alcohol, and somebody said to me, because I was so shy, they said, drink alcohol because it will give you confidence, which it did. But unfortunately, also when I drank, the root of the problem was obviously anorexia coming forward, and these are other little things that came into it. Everything that I bottled up inside would spill out, which was not healthy.
Yeah, thank you so much, Susan Jane. You know, we're at the point where we need to take a break, so let's catch up again. From where you left off after the break. Thank you very much.
Welcome back, listeners. So before the break, Susan, you said something that was very interesting. You said you just wanted to disappear. And then you started talking about your suicide attempt. So I can't, you know, that's really a perfect link between to make yourself disappear. And you said that you're a 7-time suicide survivor. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yes, of course. Thank you. And thank you for having me back. With the disappearing, a lot of information out there on suicide, it's an incredibly selfish thing. And you hurt the ones you love. Yes, you do. You do hurt people in doing it. But the disappearing is, I didn't think that I was good enough to live on this earth.
Thank you.
I didn't think I was worthy. I thought I was an abomination.
I think many times people would judge people that have committed suicide. So thank you so much for sharing that, because it just helps us to understand a little bit more about the turmoil and the thinking that goes into that.
You're welcome. It definitely is in that moment when you are doing it. I was asking God to take me home. I wanted to go home to my father.
So life became too much for you. You just couldn't endure it any longer, hey?
I couldn't endure the chaos that was around me. I couldn't endure the hurt people around me. I couldn't endure the situation I was in. It overwhelmed me.
And it must have been incredibly hard for you to wake up 6 times or 7 times and you didn't die.
You actually wake up very angry. Very, very angry.
And then what happened after the 7th time? Is there anything that happened that made it different from then onwards?
Yes.
Can you tell us?
It was during lockdown. My son and I had been starving. So that also, bringing the anorexia again, I was already extremely thin, and then we were literally starving.
And, do you mean you couldn't buy food? Is that what you mean? Because you couldn't?
Yes. Okay. No, we had nothing. I had sold my car, and we had nothing. We didn't have electricity.
Wow.
There was a problem with our geyser. We were nearly homeless. There was a problem with that.
Mm.
And I was watching my son starve.
Mm.
And I remember I'd had a little bit to drink, which was not great.
Mm.
I had just got a prescription of tablets.
Mm.
And I was just looking at my son, and I just thought, it would be so much better if I wasn't here, because he'd get so much more. I didn't have any communication with my family because of circumstances and situations of my life, where I had really deeply hurt them, and I had been hurt. Not great behavior at all.
Mm.
But I'd got to that point, and I wasn't. I just felt so alone, and I couldn't bear to watch him struggling.
Mm.
And I just said, Lord, please take me home. Just take me home. Mm. And I took 87 of the tablets.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Soon after taking them, I don't remember what happened. We had people who lived down the road. My son phoned them. They got me to the hospital. And from there, I... met a lady who was in the bed next to me who gave me scripture.
Mm.
An old school friend, out the blue, I hadn't spoken to for 30 years, sent me a message and said, hi, how are you?
Mm.
He was a Christian, and his family had been missionaries. He started talking to me about Christ.
Sure.
The doctor said to me, there's only one psychiatrist I want you to see. We're putting you into a facility. And met her. She was a Christian. We talked about God.
Wow.
And from there, I got to the root of my addiction and to accept that anorexia is an addiction.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. It's a process addiction. We'll talk more about it in the next program. Mm?
Absolutely, yes. And so from there, that was the last time I tried, and the Lord really, really came and gave me a period of grace.
Mm.
He truly did.
Mm.
Before that, the sixth time I had, no, it was about the fifth or sixth time, I had been going through a divorce, and I developed breast cancer.
Wow.
I had to have a double mastectomy.
Mm.
Then about 9 months later, I had it again, and about 8 months later, again.
So what do you mean again? Because you couldn't have a mastectomy again. You just mean
I got a tumor again.
In spite of the fact that you had a mastectomy? Because I thought you had a mastectomy, you can't have a tumor any longer.
I did. I got it twice more.
Wow.
Hmm.
It was quite an incredible thing because I didn't have any treatments. I didn't have, I declined radiation.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have chemotherapy. I came up negative for any cancer blockers or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had no treatment for cancer bar the double mastectomy and the two operations to move the cancerous tumors.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And then you were healed after that.
I was healed after that.
Wow, that's incredible.
So the psychiatrist who sort of headed up, he's a specialist psychiatrist who headed up all the doctors who were there, an oncologist and pathologists who were all involved. He was a Christian.
Yeah.
I can see a God's pursuing you, hey, through all the professional people, through all the people that he put you in contact with.
Yeah.
So, absolutely, yes. Absolutely, yes.
I see there was a shift in your relationship with God the Father, Jesus, and the Spirit. So at which stage was there that shift, and what actually happened to draw you closer to God?
It is so beautiful. I tell you, it is a joy I walk with every day, just knowing him. I knew God. And I had people around me, and throughout everything, I've been in two abusive relationships after my marriage, accepting what I thought I deserved. He was even there then. So what happened was, after lockdown and the clinic and that, I moved to the Strand. And I literally was in 6 months of being totally alone. I had nobody. I had one friend. She's literally stood by me through everything. She's immovable. She's a Christian. She just kept speaking. She was there, put there when Jesus was pursuing me. Right, she used to call me the runaway bride. But, I was on the beach the one morning early at 6 o'clock, and I said to the Lord, I don't know. I'd got to know Jesus. I got to know the Holy Spirit, and I was trying to accept how much he loves me. I found it very difficult to accept that God loves me eternally. I still go through spiritual counseling once a week, where it's reaffirmed to me that he is immovable on his love for me. And then the Holy Spirit came in when I was baptized on the beach. A church walked onto the beach at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they were doing baptisms. And I said to the Lord, what do you want me to do? And he said, baptism. And I was baptized.
Wow. So it was out of the blue, not something you planned.
No, definitely unplanned. And I got involved with the church here, and they were absolutely amazing to me. And the Lord just started to strengthen me in him. He started to show himself to me. I started to see the word as living. And he started to take me through the word, and it started to jump out at me off the page almost. And it was like I'd never read it before.
The living word.
The living word. It lives. He lives in the word.
Becomes alive through the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
Wow, what a beautiful story.
It reminds me, as you were sharing, of the scripture that we mentioned in our first program this month, and that is Romans 8, starting in the middle of 37. And it says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced that there is neither death, suicide attempts, nor life.
That's Frederick.
That's my addition. Nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, or any power, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wow, Frederick, what an appropriate way to finish off this program, because it is time to go now. And that's exactly what we can see, right, Susan? Through your life.
Absolutely. And I just want to say, I've survived COVID twice with a major lung operation, just to add to this. And that verse that you have just read, the passage I've been given over and over again from the Lord is Romans 8. Whole of Romans 8.
That was
and
the
verse
Lord
28.
Thing. Yeah. Also, 28.
So, wow.
I think 28 is that everything will work out for the good. Am I right?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Wow. Well, this is the end of our program, but listeners, come back. She's going to tell us more, because as you can hear, there's a lot more we need to hear. And next week, she's going to tell us a lot more about the anorexia and the process of anorexia, and how the Lord had helped her also to move away from that towards healing and restoration in him. Much love to you, listeners. We'll see you again next time. And remember the podcasts?
Yes, find the podcasts on capepulpit.co.za/ podcasts/IntoMeC. So if you found this interesting and valuable for yourself, you're welcome to download it or forward the link to friends and families that are suffering from the same things that Susan Jane was sharing with us.
Yes, so we'll speak to you again next time. God bless.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.